You know what we're going to have tonight? A special little lady that I carry in my heart, and anybody that's ever met her will carry her in your heart. That's just the way it is. I call her a biker, which she is. I think she's like biker so that she can follow these handsome men around that I've met tonight. Connie. You have to watch because she's a dear, gentle hygienist. Won't you help me, please? Won't you help my teeth to sparkle? She's a dental hygienist, so watch your teeth, everybody. But I've loved her now for several years. God has gifted her with entombment. Entombment meaning she knows when the angels are talking to her and she can pass it on. She is brilliant. She's loved. She's wonderful. And that is our Connie Marriott.
Hello, everybody. Tonight I want to talk to you about the healing power of love. You have the ability to heal yourself. The body is amazing. You can slice your finger with a knife and it'll heal in a week. You can break a bone, where's Nancy, and it'll heal in 6 weeks. For those of you that heard my first talk, I told you how many days it takes of flossing to heal your gums. Who remembers?
4 days.
Very good. For those of you that didn't hear my first talk, if you floss well for 4 days, you will heal your gums. These are examples of the body doing what it's designed to do, heal. But what I want to talk about is how our physical body will respond and heal when we heal emotionally. The Bible talks about healing in Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Proverbs 14:30. A peaceful heart leads to a peaceful body. Jealousy is like cancer to the bones. Louise Hay, a wonderful, insightful woman, wrote this book, You Can Heal Your Life. And I'd like to share with you something that she says. I believe we create every so-called illness in our body. The body, like everything else in life, is a mirror of our inner thoughts and beliefs. The body is always talking to us. If we will only take time to listen. Every cell within your body responds to every single thought you think and every word you speak. Continuous modes of thinking and speaking produce body behaviors and postures and eases or diseases. The person who has a permanently scowling face did not produce that by having joyous, loving thoughts. So, how do you think about yourself? Lovingly or negatively? How do you speak to yourself? Positively or not so well? We all have issues. We all have emotional injuries. These injuries can be from your distant past or from recent times. They stay with us and can manifest in many forms. For some, they manifest physically. But what is an emotional injury? Might be abandonment, being treated disrespectfully, judged, bullied, mental abuse, being exposed to alcoholism or drug addiction, witnessing a traumatic event, losing a loved one, and so much more. An emotional injury is when a tender piece of ourself inside is hurt. It's not an injury that's physically visible, and we typically hold it in. Commonly, this occurs in childhood. Sometimes we recognize the emotional injury, and sometimes we do not, not initially. It may not be until we are well into adulthood that we realize that the actions and the patterns of our lives are directly related to something that we felt as a child. This is a sensitive subject. Emotional injuries are painful. I'm going to share my story with you. The story of how love healed my emotional scars and in turn, my physical body. Not medicine, not doctors, but love. Doctors and medicine were instrumental in treating the symptoms of the disease, and I am grateful for their help. But love healed me. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. In 1987, after the birth of my second daughter, the middle joint of my right hand swelled up about this big, size of a large marble. It was very painful. Many doctor visits and tests determined that it was psoriatic arthritis, a form of arthritis that affects the end joints of fingers and toes. There's a commercial on TV right now about a professional golfer who has this disease. You might have seen it. This was a very devastating diagnosis for me because as a dental hygienist, without the use of my hands, my career was over. It took 1 year and many medications, but finally we got the arthritis in check and I was able to go back to work. Over the course of the next 16 years, I was on 10 different medications, had 3 hand surgeries, 1 toe surgery. I took methotrexate, a chemotherapy drug, for 7 years. The first year, it made me sicker than a dog. And the next 6, it was tolerable. But I lived with this for 17 years. I just assumed it was genetic and it was my lot in life. I tried not to let it stop me. I had a family to take care of, 2 beautiful daughters to raise, and there were a lot of things in life that I wanted to do. So I just kept going. I kept taking my medication and kept living my life. That's just who I am. Then there was a series of events that changed everything. And I mean everything. I was married for 20 years to the father of my daughters. We believed in the institution of marriage. We believed children should be taught by their parents and by example and be exposed to every opportunity possible. We had a good life. We were financially sound, nice home, family vacations, the whole package. But we were not emotionally matched. We were great business partners, but not emotionally supportive. I filed for divorce. For me to file for divorce was huge. But I did, and my life began to change. What I began to realize is that I had chosen a man who was like my father, emotionally unavailable. My father left my mother and I when I was 3. I never saw him again, and he died when I was 12. The therapists tell me I had abandonment issues. They were right. But I didn't put all the puzzle pieces together until I was in the process of my divorce. In this process, I learned to forgive both my father and my husband for emotionally abandoning me, not being there for me. I was healing a big emotional injury from childhood that I didn't even know I had. And how did this emotional injury manifest in me? Arthritis. It took a physical form. Can you see the connection? Emotional pain that you may not be completely aware of is suppressed. Suppressed emotional pain creates disease. One more time. Suppressed emotional pain creates disease. I did not realize that I was in this downward spiral of suppressed emotional pain for most of my life. I had no clue. My personality says keep going no matter what, so I kept going. Well, now that I'm in the process of divorce, I'm newly single. So I began to change the way I looked at my life. The first thing I did was to go back to church. Then I bought a Harley. I called her my divorce recovery. So now we're at the year 2004, and I'm 44 years old. As I adjusted to my new life, I took deeper breaths. I listened differently to what people had to say. I listened to my body, and I listened to my heart. I was challenged by a friend to look in the mirror, right into my own eyes, and say, I love you. Three simple words. How tough could that be? Let me tell you, this is a difficult assignment. A very, very, very difficult assignment. For those of you that have been in the healing classes or some of the other classes offered here at church, you've had the assignment of writing a love letter to yourself. This is the same thing. Connecting to your innermost feelings and loving yourself despite what you've experienced. It's amazing. To all of you who have done this assignment, I'm very happy for you and very proud of you. I know it changed your life. It took me quite a while to get up the nerve to do it. I was a big chicken. I was in my car, and I looked into the rearview mirror. This wasn't a good idea. Because as soon as I said, I love you, the floodgates opened. I lost it. Just lost it. Guess what happened next? And no, I did not get into an accident. My life began to really change. Special people came into my life. The timing was right. My husband Dean was one of them. Dean lives a life of unconditional love. He has shown me by example how to love everything. I was not an easy student at times, and I'm still not. But his faith in me prevails. I couldn't ask for a better reminder on a daily basis of unconditional love. You really helped me to learn to love myself and to see love all around. Thanks, honey. And I got his permission to embarrass him like that. Our teachers come in many forms. Surround yourself by good people. Choose to be with people that you admire and respect. It does rub off. So let's look at my overall picture. Age 3. My father left. Abandonment. My emotional injury. Age 12. My father dies. Now permanent emotional unavailability of my father. 23, I married an emotionally unavailable man. 27, I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis. 43, I filed for divorce. 44, I looked in the mirror and said, I love you. So now we're up to age 45. What an amazing year. I was feeling great. I loved myself. I was going to church. I had Dean and many wonderful people in my life. And let's not forget my Harley. I decided to cut back on my arthritis medications, then to eventually stop them altogether. In 2005, at age 45, I went into remission. I believe it was all because of love. I learned to love myself. This is 2016, 11 years later. I remain in remission, and I know that I know that I know I will be forever arthritis free. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I am not alone in this type of amazing healing. Many people share similar experiences. I read a book recently by a woman whose healing was beyond amazing. Her journey was much more difficult than mine, and she was able to put into words what the journey was like. The book is called Dying to Be Me by Anita Morjani. The book was given to me by a friend, one of those special people in my life who show up at just the right time and just happen to know what you need. So I encourage anyone who is dealing with any disease to read her book. Anita was in stage 4 lymphoma with all of her organs failing on her deathbed in 2006. She made a full recovery and lectures today on the power of God's love. Never underestimate the power of love. And just to make one thing clear, for both Anita and I, doctors and medication were an important part of our recovery. They kept the disease in check, somewhat. I believe in the practice of medicine, but I believe in the power of love more. You have the ability to heal yourself with love. I challenge each and every one of you to look into the mirror, into your own eyes, and say these words, I love you. Three simple words. They have the power to change your life and the lives of all you touch. They changed my life. They healed me. Live in love. Blessings to you all.